Good morning, everybody, and welcome to worship on this beautiful sunny day. We forget about that. As you can see, it's Reverend Tim this morning, and we welcome Zara and Charlie, who are here to be baptized this morning. We welcome all their family and friends. We hope everyone will stay for coffee after the service. Just a few notices to tell you. Wednesday it's beans and banter at 10 o'clock, so if anybody would like to join us here in the church at 10 o'clock for coffee and cake, you'd be very welcome. Next Sunday evening is the Circuit Engage event at Ponteland. We've had these before, we haven't had them since COVID, so they're starting again. And this will be at 6:30 at Ponteland. We have to go with two things to thank God for and something to pray for. So I'd like you to have a think about that, and I'll come round when we're having coffee later and see if anybody's got any ideas. Something that we need to thank God for and something to pray for. So if you can have a think about that. Refreshments are being served from 6 o'clock, but the service will start at 6:30. Can you please note that the church council meeting has been changed, the date's been changed to the 2nd of November from the 26th of October, so please change that on your diaries. Last week, as you know, we had the harvest tea, and we made £105 for church funds, so I think that was marvellous, and we had a really good evening. Please don't forget the food bank box at the back of the church that we're collecting for Leamington Methodist Church, and especially sanitary products and the likes of shower gels and things like that they're very desperate for. So if anybody can bring something for that, that would be great. As I've said before, we're very short on the prayer chain. So if anybody would like to join the prayer chain, if you speak to me or Maureen after the service, we'll explain what it entails. It's not difficult. So if anybody would like to join that, please speak to me or Maureen Ridley after the service. Sylvia is collecting ladies and gents clothing. So that's for the homeless that she supports in the East End of Newcastle. So if you've got anything, please have a word with Sylvia. And I think that's everything. We'll now say our prayer for today at the top of the service, the top of the notices. Lord, help me in my sharing of your message of love and grace to all, that they too may become your disciples and know your forgiveness. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Lynn. Thank you. Well, good morning, everyone. Morning. It's lovely to see you all here on this lovely morning, and particularly lovely to see Zara and Charlie sitting at the front here for their very special day on the occasion of their baptism. And it's lovely to see all you who've come to support them, family and friends. And you're very, very welcome here this morning. And welcome to anybody else who's here for the first time. It's lovely to have you here. Those who know me know that I quite often put a couple of funny slides up first of mistakes that have appeared in different ways on service sheets and things. And if you can read that one, somebody had written, "All my hope on God is funded, not founded." And probably is a bit of an obsession for a lot of churches, actually. But there we go. This was an advert for a tapestry pouch, Scared Hearts of Jesus and Mary. I think it was meant to be sacred. Scared Hearts. So that had obviously gone a bit wrong. And I don't know whether you can see this one, but this is in a parish hall somewhere. It's a stained glass window, and people often look at it for a while and then start smiling, because she's got two, now what would it be, left feet or two right feet? If you look at the bottom, both feet are the same way round. And they think what happened is when they were putting the stained glass in, they put it in the wrong way round. So they're not, there's no symmetry there, and it's all wrong, look. So that causes a lot of amusement, apparently, where that is, and they just left it where how it was. So there we go. I don't know whether she could walk like that. I don't know. But anyway. Strictly Come Dancing, yes. That's right. Anyway, there we go. That's those slides for for this morning. So we will begin now with our call to worship song that many of you are very familiar with, and then we're going to move into another song that reminds us about Jesus coming from heaven to earth to show us the way and to be our light and our guide. Lord, I lift your name on high. So if anybody wants to join in with any tambourines or maracas or anything, they're all here.
If you want to come and get any, you're very welcome.
You want one? Get if you want. You're thinking about it. That's okay. Ready? That's it. Oh, some tambourines. Brilliant. Anybody else? Adults are allowed as well. It's fine. See what you can find in there. Okay, all the words for our songs are on the screen this morning. So let's stand to sing together. Come, now is the time to worship. Oh, we haven't got any backing. Please be seated. We're going to have a prayer now, so let's pray together. God spoke through the prophet Isaiah, saying, I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the gift that is today. We thank you that we can meet here together this morning as your church family once again. Lord, we meet to worship you and to praise you for all that you are and all that you've done for us. We thank you for your faithfulness to us, that even when we wander from your paths, like the tender father in the story of the prodigal son, you gently beckon us home to you, arms outstretched, for such is your amazing grace and love for us. Father, we thank you for each other. We thank you that through your amazing grace in sending Jesus, we're adopted into your family. We become your children, not because of anything we can do or can offer to you, but simply because you love us. And as we become your children and heirs of your kingdom, we become family to each other. And so we ask that you'd help us, Lord, to love one another just as you have loved us. As we meet this morning, Lord, we ask that your Spirit would speak into our hearts, that we might leave here today knowing that we encountered you, and knowing also that we were indeed changed by your light and your love. Lord, you know our hearts. Only you know the joys as well as the burdens we might have carried through these doors today. You also know the times when we've lived in ways that are perhaps not honouring to you. So we want to say sorry, Lord, for the times when perhaps we've fallen short of what you would have us be, when we haven't lived how Jesus would call us to live. And so with open hearts, we ask that all the ways we've fallen short may be washed away through your glorious grace and love for us. Lord, we thank you for this special day for Zara and Charlie as we share in their baptism this morning. Lord, bless them and their family too. And we ask that they may know your love for them, and that they, and indeed all of us, would grow closer in our relationship with you, day by day. We ask these prayers in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Oh, we've got a little video clip now that's coming up. In this season, we look back at the blessings we've received, and we give thanks. Lord, for your goodness and mercy, when we are less than good. We give thanks for your love and patience when we lack the love that's needed. We give thanks for your provision in times of need, whether we acknowledge you or not, Lord. We give thanks for leading and guiding us when we can't find our way. We give thanks for your ultimate sacrifice, redeeming us in our brokenness. We give thanks when we struggle to find the good in our lives. We rest in the fact that you are good, though our lives are far from perfect. You are perfecting us for all that you've done for us, in us, through us. We give thanks to you, Lord. Right then. Does anyone here enjoy? Oh, well, can you hear me? No? Hear this one? Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing. Is it still working? Oh, hang on, it's muted on here. I'll just turn it on. Oh. The little red light's staying red. Hang on a minute. That's it. Right, 1, 2, 3. Can you hear me now? Right, what was the question? You can hear at the back, that's good, excellent. So does anybody like going to parties? Do you enjoy going to parties? Yeah, you do, that's good. What do you like about parties and special occasions? Sorry?
Cake.
Cake, there's always cake. All right, okay. So how do you dress when you go to a party or a special occasion? Smart, you tend to sort of dress up a bit, don't you? If you're going to perhaps going to a special occasion or you're maybe going to visit somebody very special. Imagine if you were going to visit your most special hero in all the world. You'd probably think quite carefully, wouldn't you, about what you wore to go and visit them. Now, I'm a bit renowned sometimes for trying little illustrations that are completely, well, this is one this morning where this could all go horribly wrong. But Zara and Charlie, I wondered if you would help me this morning, seeing as this is your special morning. Okay, so would you guys come up here and help me with something, right? So we've said then that if we were going to visit somebody very special, to encounter them, that we would actually dress up and we would make sure we were probably really smart, wouldn't we, for the occasion, like you two are this morning, incredibly smart this morning. Don't they look lovely this morning? They do, don't they? Right then. So I wonder, how would we dress if we were to meet God? That's a tricky one, isn't it? Right, I've got something that you're going to help me with. And I really hope you guys manage to stay clean while we do this. Okay? So, right. Okay. Now, I'm sorry it hasn't got a head. It's the only mannequin I could lay my hands on. But can you see what this little person's wearing? A nice, white, clean, white dress, that's right. Now, I'm just going to get something for a bit of protection. Okay? Because I don't want to get things on here. Okay? So, Charlie, could you just lift it up by the neck a minute? Just lift it, that's it, thank you, that's great. And we're just going to pop that on there. And then can you lean it back on? Is that going to work? Is that going to work? Or is it all going to go wrong already? Shall we just lean it back a little bit? Let's just lean it back a tiny bit. Okay. So, our strange little headless mannequin has got a beautiful white shirt or a dress on. There's not a single stain or a mark. But I would like us, just for a moment, just thinking about meeting God, I'd like us to think about our lives as being a little bit like this beautiful white clean shirt, how we start out, okay? Now then, I've got some things for you. Okay, Zara, can I give you that one? Okay, Charlie, can I give you that one? All right, and maybe I'll have this one, okay? Show everybody what you've got. So we've got yellow mustard, we've got brown sauce, I've got the brown sauce, and Charlie's got the ketchup. Okay, now then. I think we're going to have to get quite close, because we don't want to make a mess on the floor, okay? Right. Okay, Zara, seeing as you've got that, right, I want us to imagine that the mustard is everything that we did in life that perhaps we shouldn't have done, that actually we knew was wrong, but we did anyway, okay? So, you might come a bit nearer, see if you can squirt someone. Okay, that's fine. That's good. Okay. Not made too much mess so far. All right. Now, Charlie, I want you to imagine, or all of us to imagine, that the ketchup represents everything that we should have done that we actually didn't do. Everything that we knew we probably ought to have done, made up with somebody that we'd fallen out with. Many, many different things, but actually we never did it. Okay? That's what the ketchup represents. Okay, Charlie, try and get it on there. Oh. Okay. That's fine.
Why did you do more on the t-shirt?
Okay.
Rolling down
the
neck, never mind. Okay. Thank you.
No, it kind of looks like blood.
Well, I've got the brown sauce. And we know, it says in the Bible, that God knows every thought and intent of our hearts and our minds, okay? So it's not perhaps just the things we outwardly do or don't do when we should have done, but it's what goes on in here as well. And I'm sure for all of us, we wouldn't want anyone else to know all the things that have gone on in here over the years. But that's what this brown sauce represents, so I'm going to have a go now. Okay? Okay, we probably need quite a bit of that. Whoops.
It went on the floor.
No, don't. Okay. So, I'm afraid this is our lives. Yeah? It's not looking so good, is it? Would we want to meet God like that?
No.
No. When we think about heaven and we think about perfection, all the things that the mustard, the ketchup and the brown sauce represent, do we imagine any of those things in heaven? No. That's right. So we're a bit stuck, aren't we? Meeting God looking like this, thinking about heaven with all this stuff that we've carried in our lives. Do you think we need to try and clean him up? Should we try? Right, okay. You want to have a go? Throw the water on. I think we're in enough trouble as it is. I don't think we should be throwing the water on. Well, shall I have a little go? Shall I just... Oh. Oh dear. Oh. It's not
really
working, is it? Does that look any better?
No.
And this is how it is between us and God. We think we can kind of make things all okay on our own, but in reality, this is how we appear. And the Bible says, in fact, all our good deeds, as much as we ever try to meet God's standards, kind of at the end of the day, we all look a bit like filthy rags with how we end up in our lives and the mess ups that we make. And this is why Jesus coming was so important, because we can't be doing with this, can we, when we meet God? And what the Bible tells us is that what Jesus did for us in dying on the cross, he took all of the ketchup, the mustard and the brown sauce, all of our mess ups in life, all the things that we should have done that we didn't, all the things that we did that we shouldn't have done, and all the wrong thoughts in here. He took all that upon himself on the cross because he loved us. So that we can be presented before God absolutely spotlessly clean. In fact, the Bible calls them royal robes that he puts on us because we end up like this. So, I don't know if this is going to work. I think we need to move the mannequin's arms up. Okay. Shall we try and, do you want to try and pull that side of the t-shirt up? Or the shirt, okay. That's right. Sorry, he's a bit naked for now. Okay. So, this is what Jesus does for us. You pop through there. You can get it on, Charlie. See if you can get the arm in there. That's it. Hang on a minute, something gone wrong there. Shirt. What? Sorry. That's it. Whoops. Actually, we don't need that now, do we? Because we've... I'll move that out of the way. I'll tell you what, I'll leave you guys. Okay. Oh, we've lost an arm. Don't worry. There we are. That's it. There we are. Okay, can you hold it? Right, where's it? The shirt. That's it. Oops. And there we go. Okay. That's it. So here we have new special occasion clothes for encountering God at the end of our lives. And it's all down to what Jesus did for us and nothing about what we can do for ourselves. And that's why we thank him this morning. And that's why we celebrate Zara and Charlie's baptism this morning, as we remember that washing and cleansing, as he gives us the royal robes, as the Bible says, that we don't deserve. Okay, give him a round of applause. Very well, thank you. That's brilliant. And hang on a minute. Just so I don't get wrong. There we are. Good as new. Right, I'll put them over there. So, what are we doing now? So actually, we're going to sing about those royal robes that we don't deserve now, as we sing, King of Kings, Majesty, God of Heaven, living in me. So, baptism is God's free gift to us, telling us about God's love and his grace. In this outward sign of an inward change, we celebrate first that Jesus came to live on earth with us to teach us about God's love, and then showed that love by giving his life for us on the cross. Secondly, that God reaches out to each of us today through his Holy Spirit, to teach us about his love, to help us to know him and enable us to live the way that he wants us to live. And finally, God makes us part of the Church of Jesus Christ so that we may be supported by other Christians
and love and support them in our turn. Although we don't deserve these gifts of grace or fully understand them, God offers them to us all and invites us to respond. As a church, we remember the words of Jesus after he was raised from the dead. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. So, can I ask parents, godparents, Sarah and Charlie, do you want to come round here? I'd like to come and sort of stand around the back there, and you guys at the front. Come and sit. Can I give you a Oh, what a lot of people we've got out. Yeah, we might need to share these. Oh, I've got this one. Okay. You guys want to share them? So we're just... Come and stand this side. Actually, I can see you all now. That's great. Okay. So we're just at the bottom of page one, actually. And so I say to parents and godparents of the children to be baptised, Donna, Martin, Kirsty, having heard these things, how do you respond to the offer of God's grace? Just say it all the time. Yeah.
We thank God and ask the children are baptized. Okay.
Do you two want to come inside of the water? And so we pray. Gracious God, we thank you for your gifts of water and the Holy Spirit, for your sustaining, cleansing, and life-giving power. From the beginning, your grace has been made known through water and the Spirit. Your Spirit moved over the waters at creation, and you led your people to freedom through a parted sea. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus. He was baptized in the waters of the Jordan and anointed with the Holy Spirit. He passed through the deep waters of death and lives forevermore. He offers us living water and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so we pray, Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit, that Charlie and Zara, who are to be baptized in this water, may die to sin, be raised with Christ, and be born into new life in the family of your church. We ask this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. So I ask parents and godparents together, do you turn away from evil and all that denies God?
By the grace of God, I do.
Do you turn to God, trusting in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour, and in the Holy Spirit as helper and guide?
By the grace of God, I do.
And so we affirm together by everybody saying the words on the screen there. You guys might seem to come for a little bit, please. We believe in God the Father, who made the world. We believe in Jesus Christ, his Son, who redeemed humankind. We believe in the Holy Spirit, who gives life to the people of God. So I say to you, Zara and Charlie, for you, Jesus Christ came into the world. For you, he lived and showed God's love. For you, he suffered death on the cross. For you, he triumphed over death, rising to newness of life.
For you he prays at God's right hand. All this for you, even before you knew anything about it. In your baptism, the word of Scripture is fulfilled. We love because God first loved us. Charlie Carl Albert Ovington, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And I sign you with the cross of Christ, for you now belong to him. Zara Martina Philip, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And I sign you with the cross of Christ, for you belong to him. By baptism, we receive you into the family of the Church. Oh, actually, are you there, Joy? Do you want to know?
Receive these lights, for you belong to Christ, the light of the world. Christ is your light and your way. Amen.
May you grow and live in the faith of Christ. Amen. And so we all say the blessing together that's on the screen for Charlie and Zara. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look on you with kindness and give you peace.
Amen.
So I turn to parents and I ask you now to respond to God's love and grace for Zara and Charlie by making these promises as parents. Will you continue to love Charlie and Zara, committing yourself to care for them in body, mind and spirit?
With God's help, I
will. Will you therefore ensure that they are nurtured in the faith and life of the Christian community?
With God's help, I will.
Will you set before them a Christian example that through your prayers, words and deeds, they may learn the way of Christ?
With God's help, I will.
So I say to all the godparents, will you play your part in helping to nurture Zara and Charlie in the Christian faith?
Father, we will.
I'm going to ask you guys a question and hopefully the answer is yes. So Zara and Charlie, will you do your best to follow Jesus and learn about him and let him be your friend and your guide in your lives? Yes. Can I ask you all to stand, please, if you're able? So, members of the body of Christ, we rejoice that Zara and Charlie have been baptized here this morning. Will you so maintain the church's life of worship and service that they may grow in grace and in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son Jesus Christ our Lord?
With God's help, we will.
Thank you. Please be seated. You want to present them with the. We've got baptism certificates, yes, there's one for Zara and one for Charlie. What's the one to...
You left up on that in the fire.
Okay, and we've got a little bookie, which is a present from the church for you. They're both the same, but actually one's got... That one's yours, Charlie, and that one's yours, Zara. Okay? It's Bear Grylls, actually, who wrote that. So I hope you enjoy those. And yes, you'll have to spread them out to...
So we're going to sing again. Are you all right? Okay, so we're going to sing this baptism song now. The words are on the screen, and it's the tune of Give Me Joy in My Heart, which I think that most of you will know. Okay, shall we sing? Fantastic. Please be seated. Now, the children and the young ones are going to go out to Sunday Club now, just for a short Sunday Club this morning. So any of the younger ones, and if you guys want to go out, you've been out other Sundays, haven't you? Well, you can go and do whatever they're going to do in Sunday Club. It's entirely up to you, or if you want to stay in this morning, that's fine. It's up to you. Yes, they're starting to move now. Are you going to go out? Okay. We'll see you in a bit. We'll see you later. I'll let you into a secret, the arm's just come off that mannequin again. Now it looks like it's got a very, very long arm with that shirt on. Oh dear. We're just having one Bible reading this morning. It's one of the appointed readings from Luke chapter 17, and it tells the interesting story of Jesus healing 10 people afflicted with leprosy. I don't know who's reading. Oh, Andrew's reading. Yes, thanks, Andrew.
So reading from Luke chapter 17, verses 11 to 19. 10 healed of leprosy. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus travelled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Amen.
It wasn't that long ago where there were signs like this little one in yellow were absolutely everywhere, weren't they? I find it quite confusing because there's still quite a few shops and places you go that haven't actually taken any down. They've just left them there, and it rather confuses me. I think, do I still have to leave 2 metres between me and the next person? Is there still a one-way system in this shop? Usually there isn't, but it's actually just because they've left the signs up, nobody's taken them down. And I notice actually we've still got some signs up in here as well that probably could do with coming down at some point, although I hear that kind of COVID's
on the rise again a little bit at the moment as we head towards the winter. But I'm glad that generally our social distancing on the whole has eased. It's nice to be back to somewhere near a normality. But you know, social distancing is by no means a new thing. And if you were suffering from any kind of leprosy or skin-related diseases back in the times of Jesus, boy, you knew what social distancing meant. People afflicted with leprosy were considered unclean, and they were mandated to keep their distance from everybody. In fact, I think they had to ring a little bell as they went along, basically saying, keep away from me, I'm not clean. And there were ancient quarantining instructions that they had in their Jewish laws long before face masks and isolation wards. And the priests were a bit like health inspectors, deciding who was clean and who wasn't, deciding who could be kind of let back into the fold, as it were, and those who still had to be kept apart. Imagine how these poor lepers, people with leprosy, must have felt going around declaring themselves unclean to anyone in hearing distance, which they were supposed to do. And it was inevitable that both Jews, like Jesus, and Samaritans with leprosy, despite their normally huge cultural and religious differences, well, they would often get together because they had such a common bond and affliction. They were in it together because they were both separated from their people. And here they are in this account, standing at a distance and calling out to Jesus. We don't know exactly what these leprosy sufferers believed about what Jesus could do for them at this point, but it seems that they at least have an inkling that he is somebody special. They may have seen him heal others. And so they cry out to him, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Maybe there are people today who are, in a sense, standing at a distance from Jesus. Perhaps feeling isolated from him for whatever reason. Perhaps feeling despised or unwanted by the society around them. Perhaps feeling not good enough, or not clean enough, as it were. But at the same time, with just a small inkling that Jesus might be someone special who can bring about a change in their lives. And in this account, we saw that Jesus saw these men. He looked at them and addressed them. Now, this might seem like a throwaway part of the story, but have you ever noticed what we do when we actually, if we're walking past someone that we don't want to get involved with or engage with? Might be somebody homeless on the street and it's inconvenient for us and we haven't got much time. And there'll be a million and one reasons why we don't want to get involved. And so what do we often do? Yeah, we often avert our eyes, don't we? We don't look at them. We look at something else, or we look at someone else. We don't want to make that visual contact that might commit us in some way, that's going to make us feel uncomfortable or be a bit risky or a bit inconvenient. But in this account, when faced with the most ostracized people of his day, Jesus looks at them and enters into a dialogue with them. And I believe it's no different today. If we stand, even at a distance from Jesus, for whatever reason, would have a desire to get to know the one who can bring about healing and cleansing in our lives, Jesus wants to enter into conversation and relationship with us too. And in this story, Jesus sees them and enters into a dialogue, and he tells them what's to be done. And what he does tell them to do might seem a little strange, because on this occasion, he doesn't sort of call them over and lay hands on them and minister to them in what we might think of as a more conventional Jesus manner. On another occasion, he laid his hands on a leper and made him clean and healed him. But on this occasion, he doesn't do that. He tells them to go and do what their laws mandated to do when you thought you were clean and disease-free. Go and show yourselves to the priests, the health inspectors. This is what they were required to do if they thought they'd become free of the disease. So in the particular circumstances of these 10 men afflicted, what he asks them to do might seem really odd, because he's encouraging them to act as if something miraculous has happened before there's any evidence of it at all. He's asking them to trust and have faith in what Jesus has set in motion as they obediently head off towards the priests in the hope that healing would become a reality. Despite there being no rational evidence at this point that warrants them presenting themselves to the priests at all, go show yourselves to the priests, he tells them. The obedience starts before the healing does. Those first steps towards the priests have to be steps of faith, because they're not based on anything rational they can see at that point. First step, no healing. Second step, leprosy still clinging on. But then at some point, as they carry on taking those steps, something they never dreamed possible happens, and the cleansing occurs. But the obedience had to be first. There's a fascinating, very similar story in the Old Testament, in the second book of Kings, about a highly regarded army commander called Naaman, who also gets leprosy. And to cut a long story short, you can go read it for your homework if you want, he knows there's a prophet in Israel who might be able to heal him. And so he goes to Israel. He's not Jewish, he's a non-Jew, he's a Gentile, but he's really a foe of Israel. But he arrives in Israel with all his horses and all his chariots, and he's directed to the prophet Elisha to seek healing from God. And Elisha simply tells him to go and wash 7 times in the River Jordan. And Elisha tells him his flesh will be restored and healed. Well, Naaman's pretty miffed at these instructions, having come all that way. Is that it? That's not rational. The passage says, and I love this, that Naaman exclaims, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot, and cure me of my leprosy. We've got much better rivers back in Damascus. I could have had a wash in those. And so it says that he goes off in a rage. But to cut to the end of that story, his servants persuade him to go and do the simple thing that the prophet had instructed him to do. And so he does go to the Jordan, and it says in the story that his skin became clean like that of a young boy. And the parallels of the two stories are fascinating, because Naaman, this Gentile commander, returns to Elisha. He goes back to the man of God full of gratitude for his healing. In fact, he tries to offer him gifts, although Elisha won't accept them. Now, remember which of the lepers in the New Testament story that we've just heard, which one went and offered the thanks to Jesus? It was the Gentile. It was perhaps the most unlikely one of the 10. And in the Naaman story, Naaman declares, now I know there is no God in all the world except in Israel. He knows he's been healed by the living God, and that this hasn't been some false encounter with a made-up, man-made deity. So the parallels of the two stories are fascinating. I wonder, do we sometimes fall into the trap of setting up deals with God? If you do this blessing for me, then I'll respond in obedience to you. We want to see what God does first, to do the dramatic healing first, to sort of sort out a particular problem or situation out first, and then we'll respond in some positive way of gratitude towards God. But in both stories, the ones seeking the healing had to take the steps of obedience first. Even if what was instructed seemed like a ridiculous thing to do and not rational at all. If they'd only taken notice of what they could see in the natural, in the obvious, the outcomes of the stories, of both stories, would have been very different. So just to return to the Luke account with Jesus, it's the healed Gentile, the non-Jew, perhaps the most unlikely one, that returns to Jesus full of gratitude. and recognizes the enormity of what's happened and this encounter with the living God that he's experienced and been transformed by. It's the unexpected one that throws himself at Jesus' feet in response to the grace and the healing that he's received. And Jesus' final blessing, if you like, to this man, it's lovely when he says at the end, "Rise and go, your faith has made you well." The Greek word, in the original Greek, at the end here, is the word sozo. Rise up, your faith has made you sozo. And the Greek word can be translated as to heal, to save, to make well, to make whole. It's a much bigger word with a much deeper meaning than the word that Jesus used when he says of the others, they were made clean. Yes, all 10 were made clean, but this man's faith, the one who came back to say thank you, the one who came back full of joy and gratitude to God, this man has been made sozo. It would seem to be a much deeper blessing. Your faith has healed you, saved you, made you whole. You could say that in one sense, this man was saved by a thank you. One commentator observes, "Have you ever noticed just how powerful it is not only to receive blessing, but also to name it and to give thanks for it?" So, lastly, I wonder, where do we place ourselves in this story? Because wherever we're at, this story leads us to where we need to go next. Maybe we're standing at a distance from Jesus, perhaps feeling not good enough, unclean, or ostracized, but with a hunch that he might be able to help us. Are we perhaps wavering over obedience to his promptings because it requires us to take steps that are beyond the naturally obvious? Are we in a place where we can testify to having experienced love and grace from our living true God, but we've not really returned to Jesus with hearts full of gratitude? Wherever we're at, may we all be brave enough to take whatever the next step in the story is for us, as this encounter between this grateful man and the living Jesus becomes our story too. Let's pray. Lord, you know our hearts. You know where we are really positioned in this story. And yet this account gives us the confidence that no one is beyond the reach of your love and your power to transform. Lord, help us to approach you with confidence. Help us to engage with you and to be obedient to you and your calling on our lives. And as we allow ourselves to become open to being transformed by your living power, may we fall at your feet with hearts full of gratitude, and may we live lives of joy that testify to your goodness. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
We're going to sing again now. We're going to sing a song of gratitude. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Can I just ask, were the offering plates out as people came in, or are they there for as people go out? They're at the back. Okay. Would you like to bring them forward, and we'll just offer the gifts to God. Have people still got offerings to put in? Yes or no? I tell you what, we'll let the offering plates go around. Please, there's no obligation, but if you'd like to give to the life and the work of the church here, then please feel free to do so. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for all your many blessings and gifts that you shower upon us each and every day. Lord, accept this gift of money, and along with it, Lord, our hearts and our lives. And we pray that you would use all things for your glory and for the transformation of this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I now invite Lynn to come out and lead us in our prayers of intercession for this morning. Thanks, Lynn.
There is a bidding and a response which will be on the screen. When I say, "Gracious Lord, full of mercy and loving compassion," could you please reply with, "Hear our prayers for your world, your people." Let us pray. Lord, when life is bleak and barren, many cry out for help. Yet not all know who they cry out to. Many ask, "Who are you?" You are God, full of mercy and loving compassion. Gracious, compassionate Lord, just as the lepers of old cried out to you for mercy, we cry out to you. Gracious God, full of mercy and loving compassion,
hear our prayers for your world, your people.
We ask your loving hand to move upon the world and our changing climate. We pray for those going hungry due to the floods in Pakistan. We pray for Somalia, who instead of floods have the worst drought in 40 years and are on the brink of famine. We pray for the carnage wrought in Florida by Hurricane Ian, probably the deadliest ever experienced there. And we continue to pray for all those caught up in countries devastated by the evils of war. Gracious God, full of mercy and loving compassion,
hear our prayers for your world, your people.
Gracious, compassionate Lord, we pray for all people suffering ill health, physically and mentally. We pray for all with debilitating illnesses and disabilities. Science has come a long way since biblical times, when the lepers were labelled unclean, ostracised and banished to colonies in order not to infect others. Yet today, in third world countries, children born with such as cleft palates, if not operated on, are rejected and unable to live a normal life. We pray for institutionalised disabled people, chained and neglected in orphanages amid war-torn Ukraine. For people in need of healing the world over, we pray your loving blessings upon them. Gracious Lord, full of mercy and loving compassion,
hear our prayers for your will, for your glory.
Gracious, compassionate Lord, our country is going through bleak times, which look set to get even worse. A large percentage of nurses are leaving the NHS due to workload and financial stress. We pray for all the medical professions. Strengthen them, Lord, and all who are struggling with stressful workloads and attempts to make ends meet each month. We pray for our own communities, for those living rough on our streets, for those in need of help as bills spiral. And we pray for all working tirelessly to support them. We pray for all those we know and love who are in need of your loving hand. We pray for all involved in trying to lift this country out of the dark economic times we're facing. We lift our new government before you. We pray too for strong leaders in the faith to shine your light. Gracious Lord, full of mercy and loving compassion,
hear our prayers for your
world. Gracious Lord, full of mercy and loving compassion, The lepers cried out when they recognized the light of hope in you. You are a constant light in dark times. Help us, your church, to remember what really matters. Help us to shine your light and bring hope and healing. In your precious name, we cry out for your world, your people. Gracious Lord, full of mercy and loving compassion.
Hear our prayers for your world, your people.
Amen.
Thanks, Lynn. Thank you. So we move into our time of communion this morning, sharing in the bread and the wine. And just to say that all are welcome when we get to the point, you will be invited out of your rows to come forward and share at the front. So we are the body of Christ. In the one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. Let us therefore keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And
would you like to just turn to those around you, just a simple greeting, peace be with you. You can shake their hand. Peace be with you. Friends, this is the table of Jesus Christ and our table. Gather around it in freedom and faith, because we are the loved people of God, the guests invited to the feast. Lift up your hearts and minds above your cares and fears, and let this bread and wine be for you the sign of the grace, the love, and the communion of God. We celebrate the Holy God, the source of life and all that is, the one whose being creates in all eternity the wonders of reality with beauty, imagination, costliness and love. We celebrate Christ Jesus, life that knows no boundaries, truth that never turns aside, grace more powerful than death, and humanness that joins divine. We celebrate the Holy Spirit, wisdom moving in our midst, preparing the way for fullness of life with gifts of courage, energy and joy. God above us, God below us, God within us, God beside us. We celebrate your being with endless thanks and praise. With love for his friends, on the night that he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, he broke it, and giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, Christ took the cup, and again giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so we pray, be present, risen Lord Jesus, by your Holy Spirit, as you were with your disciples, and make yourself known to us in the breaking of the bread. For you live and reign with the Creator and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. And so we pray together with confidence in the words our Saviour gave us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come,
your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We who are many are one body in Christ, for we all share in the brokenness of life, and we all share in the bread of life. Amen.
We thank you, gracious God, for feeding us in body, heart, soul, and mind. We receive with gratitude all that you so graciously offer to us, and commit ourselves to love you, each other, and the world. Amen. Amen. We sing our final hymn together this morning, lovely old hymn. Although, how great thou art, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hand has made. Next slide. So, final blessing. Go in peace in the power of the Holy Spirit, and may you know the power of the one who saves, cleanses, and heals. And may you respond with hearts full of gratitude and joy. Amen. 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 Please be seated.